as Brother Robert said, if I find a place to stop, I'll quit. Sometimes a preacher ain't preached a long time. He won't give you the whole book before he quits and goes home. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, we heard a sermon not too long ago, two or three, maybe one or two Sundays ago, that Brother Wynn preached that nobody wants to do anything. Remember that? Let somebody else do it. You remember that? Well, that ain't the way a Christian and a child of God ought to respond. We respond what thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to read it. And I believe this will help every one of us tonight. It says, I'm going to read this one verse right here. Is all I'm going to read to start off with. For we are laborers together. Do you believe that? We're not to kick each other, beat each other around, but we're to help each other. We see our brother down. We see that he needs picking up. What should we do? We ought to try to pick him up. And you that are spiritual, when you see a man goes out and gets out in trouble and things like that in life, you that are spiritual, then that's us. We're the children of God. We're the ones that needs to go and try to give them a helping hand. But nobody wants to go, as Brother Wynn preached the other Sunday. But now I'm not trying to follow his. This Lord laid this on my heart about 3 o'clock yesterday morning. See, I try to search what the Lord wants. And if it's something to help us, and I know if it's for the Lord to help us. Now, we're workers together. We come to the house of God together. We worship together. Are we supposed to be a worshiping together? I go to the house of God to worship in spirit and in truth. And if there's no spiritual, I ain't been to church. We've got to have the Spirit of God. And as days go by, now I've heard this preached, and I've preached it down through the years, that the Spirit of God is being pushed out the door. What for? How can you push the Spirit of God out the door? I can't get a grab a hold of him and say, I don't want you. I didn't put you back too young. I'm talking about physically. We do it spiritually. Everything else is on our mind. Everything else is going on in our mind. And we get to the house of God and can't wait to get out to get to do what we want to do to fulfill the desires of this flesh. I hope ain't nobody here like that. But I'm going to say it. There is. And we're trying to push things along so that the Spirit of God is being pushed out of the house of God. I like to come into the house of God and see everybody in the house shouting. And I don't believe in living, I don't believe in living on used to stuff. But sometimes it needs to go get in their mind how they done all that. They done it through prayer and supplications, just exactly like the Lord said. You get what you get from the Lord through the Word. And we know how to do it. That's through the Word of God. And if we get it any other way, you know what it is? It's flesh, and the Spirit of God ain't got no control over. It's out. Now, I want to finish up this verse now. We are laborers together with who? With God. And did that ever struck a note with you? Have you ever had a job that you hated? You ever had a boss that you didn't like and you couldn't wait to quit and find you a new job? I say most of you in town, I never have left on one job. I'm talking about working for a living. Never had a boss at one time.
I said, when I worked at TRW, I've been working with myself for about 40 or 50 years.
Right.
Out with myself, from a loader. But I'll tell you one thing.
I didn't hear no cussing. I didn't hear no backbiting. I didn't hear nothing like that. I was out working with myself. And if anybody done something wrong, it was me, and I just go ahead and fuss at myself. Then I nobody to quarrel at. But now listen, we are workers together with God. How much do you like Him? How much do you like working for Him? Did you ever got in your way? And you couldn't do what you wanted to do? We've all had that problem. I'm going to say that, just go ahead and say it myself. We've all had that problem. When I would do good, evil's always present. And when I would do bad, there God is trying to turn me a different direction. He's me and Him working together. Now, I was going to bring out a lot of things that Paul, because I borrow Paul, and I know it ain't wrong to covet this. I heard Brother Claude Sutton say this one time, that he coveted all the rewards that old Paul was getting. He's still piling them up. He wrote about 13 books in the Bible, or somewhere close to that. And what was it about? Now, I know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all wrote, and they wrote to the Jews. Most of them wrote directly to Jews. But here come Paul along. He said, I'm apostle out of due season. Every epistle he wrote, I'm apostle. Now, you may not believe this, but I don't make no difference to me. I want you to believe the truth, and I'm telling you my opinion on it. And you can believe what you want to. I believe Paul was one of the 12 apostles that's going to be in heaven with us. Now, I'm talking about an apostle now. Now, why do I say that? If you could read real close, if you'll read and study real close about this, when Judas, which now God, Jesus knowed who he was choosing, and God don't make bad choices unless it's for a purpose. And it had to be a purpose for him to choose Judas, knowing that he was a devil from the beginning. He did not make no mistake. You know what he is doing? He is fulfilling the prophecy of that would deceive him and turn on him and betray him. Now listen to this, and you go home and study on this. If you give me a better answer than this, tell me, because I want to know. It says Judas was just numbered with the disciples. Ain't that what it says? Brother Finley, ain't that what that says? He was just numbered with them. Now, when Jesus went away, he said, I want you disciples to go over yonder and wait on me, or wait for the Holy Ghost to come. And wait. So I want you to just wait. Well, they went over and had a church meeting. Old Peter, you know, he'd always get jumping ahead of himself anyhow lots of times. And he called a church meeting. You know what he done? They chose two. I forget the other name. One of them, Matthias, which was they cast lots. And Matthias was chose. Now, do you find him anywhere else in the Bible? You know what he says about him? He said he was numbered with him. But old Paul come along in the out of season, new season. Paul was one of the 12 apostles. But he had a different gospel. He had the same gospel, but to the different people. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
he took the message and opened the missionary's church up to the Gentiles. And wrote 13 books that he wrote.
How to carry out our comforts and how to carry out our church business and how you operate a church and all this, that, and the other. But he was one of the apostles chosen out of due season. In the 9th chapter of Luke, you will find Paul was a man that was just about as mean as you get. But you know he was doing that thinking he was doing God a favor. He was taking letters, going to persecute the church, killing the church, and then in the 7th chapter, where Stephen was stoned to death. Is it 7? 7th chapter, old Paul helped close them and stoned him to death. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a killer. He was a hater. But he thought he was doing God's service. Sometimes you get people in the house of God thinking God doing God's service. They ain't never been born again. And the blind leads the blind. They're both going to fall in the ditch, ain't they? According to the Word of God, that's the way it's going to be. But Paul got saved. And then after he got saved, and I always liked this scripture. I'm just a jumping now. I always liked this scripture. And when he went and visited the disciples, talked to them a few days, they were scared of him, afraid he was going to get killed. You know what the Bible says about him? It says he went straightway to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. One that he'd been trying to destroy. Now, I told you I'm jumping, and I'm not going to go to all the scripture that I was going to read. You go over and read in 1 Timothy. I believe it's 1 Timothy. Turn over there and tell you where to make sure I'm telling you right. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is part of Paul's ministry unto his son, which was Timothy. And he was charging him to what to do in the church. And Paul was telling him, you go over here, you stay at Ephesus, I've got to go over to Macedonia. And he stayed there. And you know, you'll find that one church mentioned in the first church in Revelation, the church of Ephesus. And that little word, Ephesus, means, just a minute and I'll tell you, the desirable one. See, I had to punch the right button to get the right thing out. Ephesus means the desirable one, the one that everybody desired to be like, because they were spirit-filled churches, they was working for the Lord, and just couldn't get enough done. Now, why? Because they was working for the same God that men you were working with. Same one. And Paul's instructing him what to do and how to do to be a good preacher. Now, I had one person, or maybe others that tried to help me, but the one main one is Brother Ronald Irwin. When I first started preaching, he'd call me up and say, go with me over to Flat Springs or maybe over to Baker's Gap or something like that, just when I'd get the lowest. And he'd call me up and we'd go. One night, let me tell you this is kind of funny. And I've always admired him, and he always liked to have a little fun too. I had a habit when I first started preaching, getting up, say, I can't preach. And every time I'd get up, I can't preach. So he heard that, all he wanted to hear it. And we were driving home one night. He said, brother said, I've been hearing things that you said, and you say that better every time you preach. He said, I want to correct you on that.
He said, you've been saying that I can't preach. He said, I don't want you here and you say that during the time. That's exactly what you told me. But he didn't quit at that. He said, they'll find that for themselves quick enough.
See, that's a friend. You can joke with friends, you can talk with friends, but you're laboring together with God to get the work done that we're supposed to do. Now, I ain't gonna leave the Bible, but I'm gonna leave this and I'm gonna give you an experience. When I was 13 years old, that's been 63 years ago, I was 13 years old, I come through them doors there with a heart that was busted wide open, and I'm bound for hell. And I couldn't wait. I don't know what the preacher preached, don't know what song sung, but I was under a conviction of the Holy Ghost that I was lost and I was going to hell. My mama didn't tell me that. My daddy didn't tell me that. They warned me of that, but they never did tell me that. I never did have nobody in the church here to tell me that. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and I come to the second seat of my word. About between Brother Raymond and Brother Fiddler, right there, about where I sat. And when I come out of there, the invitation to give, and you know, used to that people that was interested in people getting saved, they didn't find big go back and speak to somebody and try to win them the Lord. Get that done now. Things are a lot different now than what it was then. I was looking for my mama to come out of the choir over here to come over to get me, but I never could wait until she got there. I seen her move, and I thought she was coming that way, but I hit this altar right on that old gray bank. God save my soul. Now, to do the Lord's work, now this is what I'm getting to. But I'm a laborer with God and with God's children still yet. 63 years later. But anyway, I got saved. I had to get cleaned up. Had to get washed up and primped up through the blood of Christ, that I might be a warrior and a laborer with our God. And about 50 years ago, I come into the house of God here. I never did think anything about preaching. But I sure didn't want to go. I was sitting right on the back seat back there, and Brother Ivy Moore got up in behind this pulpit right here. And God spoke to my heart. And I just kind of shunted away. I really didn't understand what the Holy Ghost is talking about. But he laid his hand on me to preach the Word of God. Well, I went and died. That didn't bother me too bad because I just never did think I was going to ever be a preacher. Walked in the house one night, Sunday night. I'm just giving you a little experience here, who I'm working for. And I'm going to tell you how good he is just a minute. I walked into church that night. I sat down right there on the back seat of this church, or the old church. And we had another preacher here. There's a preacher called Brother Trawdowner. And some of you all know it, and some of you can to him. And I was too, to his wife. But he got up, and I'll say one thing for Brother Trawdowner. He never was lukewarm. He is either cold as a wedge or hotter than a firecracker. That's the way I always took him. He got up and didn't say just a word or two. Said, there's somebody here that ain't going to be here. The Lord sat down. Boy, that's a message, wasn't it? But I'll tell you one thing. That dagger went through my heart. And you're talking about an old boy from that Sunday night till that next Wednesday night. I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Come around that curve right under Don Hodges, you can see the church. I was dying. And I come around that curve, and boys, I looked up there and seen that church, and the pressure got just a little bit easier. Come on up that night, and I got back to prayer meeting. I thought I was going to die before I got here. But the Lord had laid his hand on me to preach the word of God, just like he done Paul. The same God called me, called Paul. The same God called Brother Wynn, called me. And when we seen that God had some work for us to do, we done just like Brother Wynn preached the other night or other Sunday. Yeah, I ain't no good. I can't do this and I can't do that. Send somebody else. I'm not going. Now, I'm just telling you the experience that I've had. I don't know what kind you've had, but if you've been saved, you've had some peculiar ways and the peculiar things you should have thought about. I went to a service in Evergreen over in Tennessee that night. I went over there, and I was under such a burden I couldn't handle it no longer. And I went to that altar and bowed down to that altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, anybody ever remember Sister Blanche Miller? I bet they do. Anybody else ever know Blanche Miller? You remember? I bet you do because you lived over in there too. There wasn't too many services that you ever got in that she didn't shout. I didn't know the woman from Adam. And I'm just telling you what. This God that we're serving and that we're working with that helps us over the high spots. We get down the valley, picks us up, brings us out of the valley. Sometimes he'll let us get up on top of the mountain, shallow up. Praise the Lord a little bit. Get up there and sing a song or something. I've never seen Blanche Miller, and she didn't know me from Adam. I went to that altar, about that altar, about right. I even remember where it's at. These things don't never leave me. About right there. They got through praying. I just got up with them. Oh, they thought that I'd got straightened out. I was worse shape than one before I ever got down. I ain't never ready to go preach to you. Somebody else needs to have done that. But here she comes. All of them was full. Aisles were full. And she was the third seat back yonder, about where. I'll tell you that. Terry said, the third seat, and she sat with one over. She come out of there shouting. Now I'm just telling you what. This God that we're working with can do and will do. He ain't done. I've worked around some people that I thought was just plain dumb. And I guess I worked with some that they thought I was just plain dumb. She come out of there shouting down this aisle, and I was standing right there, and here I don't actually got through that. Well, I do now because the Lord opened up a good old path for her to walk on through. And she comes through there. Here's what she said. I ain't never forgot it. She
She slapped me in the back.
My cat right there.
Said, son, I only know her. I've never seen her. She said, son, said, if the Lord wants you preached in this room, Lord, you can. And when you can't run no further, stop preaching. That's why I'm with it. See, this God we're serving and we're working with knows all the things. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows the things that you do, and he knows the things you ain't doing that you ought to be doing and all these things. Well, that didn't help me none either. She went back to her seat. About the time she got back to her seat, she started thinking another spell and here she come again. Right back up the same one. I ain't never forgot this. Pow! Somebody said she knocked the devil out of it. I guess she did. Said the same thing again. And when I come to myself, I was down on that floor praising the Lord. I'd give my heart, soul, and life to lay it down for the Lord. At least I thought I did. I took that, it got the pressure off. But I still, as Brother Wynn preached, doesn't I still let somebody else do it. I was so feared of this place that I wouldn't even walk around here when I was a little boy. And I come home, and you know what I'm doing? I'm pulling nails out of a little barn I'd go down in the back of my house back there. You know what I'm saying? Victory Jesus. I've won the victory. Oh, that's our pressure. I wouldn't go through that again for nothing. But I know what I know now, the Lord wouldn't have that much problem out of it. But you know something? For 2 years, I wouldn't hardly visit the church. Afraid somebody call on the preach. I'd just tell you how stubborn I was. But I'll tell you one thing, he don't have much problem with it right now. If the Lord lays something on my heart, I'm going to do it. May not like it, but I'm going to do it. About 2 years. Well, you know what I done? I know what to do, but I just didn't want to do it. Had a little building out behind my house, and I went out there one morning. I was getting about the same shape as it was before to start off with. I got down on my knees in that old floor in there this one Sunday morning. I said, Lord, can't think more of this. I said, where you want me to go, I'll go, whatever it takes. I'm ready to work with you, whatever you want me to do. Dig ditches, crawl around in mud, go, we can throw it in the den, whatever it takes. Here I am. The old Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. I got ready to go that morning to do the work of the Lord. And it wasn't about two, maybe it had, I don't remember exactly how many months it was, but I don't think it was over 3 months. I was pastor of the IDM church. They ordained me. How many in here at my ordination? See, about everybody is gone that helped ordain me. You was here. Did anybody else? You was here. Ruth, was you here? I know Mama was. I don't believe anybody else. 1, 2, 3, 4 left. And I was ordained right here. And Brother Barney Allen preached ordination service. Now, I don't know whether you four remember this or not. But he got up in this pulpit.
No, that wasn't the time he done that. But anyway, Preacher Barney preached my ordination service. We had a little shouting because I was ready to go. I done turned over that leaf that here I am, Lord, send me. And you know something? I ain't been sorry ever since. Me and the Lord have worked all for good together.
She's had to rebuke me a lot of times. She's had to take the lash to me many of the time. But you know something? I'm still on the same road that I was from the start. That straight, narrow way, preaching the word of the Lord. And in love, preach a lot more, but that's just the way it is. Every now and then I get to go, but you know why? Because I have you a little talk with him, and he takes care of things and lets me go when I need to go. Sometimes I think I need to go, and maybe I don't need to go. But I just have to talk with him, and he just takes care of that. You know, move on somebody's heart of the honor or the preach part. I get to preach again. I ain't retired, and I don't believe a veterinary preacher ever retired. Paul never did retire. So he was down, when he come down the end of his way,
he said, my time of my departure is at hand. And said, henceforth there is laid up to me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but all of them that what finish up that for me. All that'll, I've got it. I told you I have to punch the right button sometime.
All them that love you, period. And I'm still serving the same God he is talking about. And you know what? I don't know where you are or not. How many times you ask the Lord to come on and get you? How many times you ask the Lord to just go ahead and come? He said the last days that's going to be what happened, but I've been doing it for a good while. And I'm not trying to hold up and try to put something in God's mind for me to say, but I just ask him just to come on and get me when he gets ready, because I'm ready to meet you and I want to be with you. I desire to be with the Lord. And I'm telling you that. And finally, the Lord calls me home, don't worry about it, because I'm going to go to a better place. Because I've been a laborer with him for 63 years now. Not been a good servant, but I don't believe I can say I've fought a good fight. Because sometimes I've disobeyed God so bad, I don't even know why he wanted me to put me back on the field. Really? Right? But I know in whom I believe, and one day I'm going to be with the Lord. And you just keep on working and laboring. Because you ain't laboring with yourself, you ain't laboring with a drunk, you ain't laboring with a dope head, you ain't laboring with all this your ignorance that's going on in this day and time, but you're laboring with one that loves you enough that he'll get you out of any situation you get in with your leg. And if you don't want to let him, I'll tell you one thing, he may have to put a ball and chain on you, but he'll get you where you're supposed to be after a while, isn't it? So I just wanted to let you know today that, which I was going to bring you out a lot of scripture, and I'm going to be like Brother Robert, time to quit, and I'm quitting. I appreciate my brothers and sisters, and I appreciate getting to labor with you with a Savior and a Lord and God like we have. Don't you ever put him aside. And don't you ever doubt him, because he will get honor and glory out of you, whether you want him to or not. Just put that in your little, we always said, your little red book. He'll take care of you, and he will get you where you ought to be, one way or the other. Just like, who was that preacher? Was that Brother Wynn preaching on them lost sheep the other day? Just like the lost sheep out yonder. You can get away from him just as far as you can get, but you won't get to fur that you don't know where you at. He'll be by and pick you up, and he'll find you wherever you at. And if you ain't right where you ought to be right now, you may be a way yonder away from him. And tonight would be a good night just to come on back home and say, Lord, here I am, send me. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for thy Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for laying your hand upon us.
Thank you, Father, for the joy that's been down through these years of serving you and seeing the great things that only you can do. Lord, it ain't in our hands, but it's all in your hands. But I'm thankful that you said in your word, and I believe it. I can do, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me, who strengthened us, and that he's the one that we have to look to. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for being patient with me, Lord. I've been so disobedient. I've been so down. And I've been so unworthy to even be called one of your children. But Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning me up. Thank you, Father, for the good joy that I have when I come to you and sing a song of praise unto thee and can pray and seek thy face with all hope and with all faith that you're going to use us somewhere until, Lord, we get our work done. And then you're going to come and take us out, and we're going to ever be with you forever in your presence. And we are thankful for that. Now, Father, I pray and bless this little church. Help us, Lord, to get in the straight and narrow way. Help us, Lord, Father, forget them things behind and start trying to serve the Lord and work together and do the work of the Lord and see souls saved. And see, Lord, those rejoice, Father, that has lost their joy of salvation as David did in the 51st Psalm. Lord, I ask thee, Father, just to be with us. Direct our minds now and our hearts, and we'll honor you, praise you forever. Thank you again for letting us stand in this sacred place once again. In Jesus' name and thank you, and amen. I was going to tell you one more thing, and I'm going to let you go home. When I surrendered to preach,